Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
The NBA on Wednesday night had a rookie showdown in Dallas. The Hornets survived 123-121 against the Mavericks. Con Knipple led the way for Charlotte with 34 points. He hit the game-winning free throws and had 8 threes in the win. Cooper Flagg in the loss had 49 points and 10 rebounds. It's the most points ever by a teenager in the NBA. The Suns had a 114-96 win over the Eastern Conference leading Pistons, and Dylan Brooks led the way with 40 points. The Timberwolves beat the Thunder 123-111 as Minnesota hit 22 three-pointers. The 76ers topped the Kings 113-111 on a Tyrese Maxey layup. Maxey ended with 40 points. And in the NHL, the Capitals beat the Red Wings 4-3 in a shootout. Despite the loss, Patrick Kane surpassed Mike Modano for most points by a U.S.-born player with 1,375.
From the gridiron to the airwaves, it's time for the Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon. Martin is a national championship fullback from the 1992 Alabama Crimson Tide. Known for his bruising runs and devastating blocks, now he's bulldozing through sports talk with that same championship intensity. Joining him is his sons, Xavier, a savant of football knowledge and statistical insight. He should go to source for the latest recruiting news and insider updates from across the Bama Nation. And Simeon, the thinker and contemplator, bringing you insight and knowledge that is logical, thoughtful, and on point. Together, they deliver fair and balanced analysis from an insider's perspective, with real conversations where the callers, the listeners, and the online maniacs get in on the action by sharing their thoughts, their comment, and their reaction. Join our online maniacs at facebook.com/The Martin Houston Show. You're listening to Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. It's time for kickoff, so buckle up and get ready, because this is the sound of Bama Sports. The Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon is live. gridiron to the airwaves. It's time for the Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon. Martin is a national championship fullback from the 1992 Alabama Crimson Tide. Known for his bruising runs and devastating blocks, now he's bulldozing through sports talk with that same championship intensity. Joining him is his sons, Xavier, a savant of football knowledge and statistical insight. He's your go-to source for the latest recruiting news and insider updates from across the Bama Nation. And Simeon, the thinker and contemplator, bringing you insight and knowledge that is logical, thoughtful, and on point. Together, they deliver fair and balanced analysis from an insider's perspective, with real conversations where the callers, the listeners, and the online maniacs get in on the action by sharing their thoughts, their comment, and their reaction. Join our online maniacs at facebook.com/ The Martin Houston Show. Woo! You're listening to Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. It's time for kickoff. So buckle up and get ready, because this is the sound of Bama Sports. The Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon is live. Roll Tide, roll! From the gridiron to the airwaves, it's time for the Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon.
It's Free for All Friday. We're powered by the good folks at Box Eye Care. Box Eye Care powering us each and every day. Need to make sure that, that you go check them out, and they can take care of all of your vision needs. That's Box Eye Care, boxeyecare.com. Go check them out. Also, it's a free-for-all Friday powered by the good folks over at TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, if you're looking for want to make sure that all of your pharmaceutical needs are met, you need a local pharmacist, someone who can take care of all of your pharmacy needs. They can customize those prescriptions. They can compound to get the right dosage based on you. You're not just another number, not just another order. You're an individual, and they will take care of you. That's TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, and they power our free-for-all Fridays. Remember that this is a day that the Lord has made, so let's rejoice and be glad in it. Take some time today to notice someone, love someone, serve someone. Be the difference you want to see in the world today. Good morning, Sim. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to be with you. X is out on assignment this morning, so we'll man the ship together. And right now there is no phone line for you to call in on. But if you're tuned in can't call in right now, but you can still join us if you want to post a thought on the online streaming, live streaming side of things. So we welcome everyone in. Good morning to the Maniacs, Hollywood, the barber with Rodriguez Carlisle. Been missing you, Rodriguez. Good to see you. Teresa Pittner, Mr. and Mrs. Pittner up there. You guys survived the snow, I hope. Jacob Powell, I know you're planning for a big weekend. I think you're supposed to get a little bit of that stuff this weekend. P. Fields, rounding things out this morning. So welcome, everybody. Glad to have you in and up and at them with us. If you're out there, give a shout out where you're logging in from. We appreciate all the interaction we get from you guys. So, I mean, it's a free-for-all Friday, so we can go anywhere, man. I mean, we can hit some of the topics we've been talking about. We started the Adam. I want to call him Adam. His name is Adam. I know his name is Adrian, but y'all just forgive an old man if I keep calling him Adam. Maybe I'm hoping it's the second coming of He's a at least like the second Adam from the Bible, Simeon, like Jesus. He looked better fit and get things right with that offensive line. We can talk about that. We definitely need to talk about what else we want to see with this coaching staff. Are you happy? Are you content? Are you feeling better in terms of the coaching staff? You know, something we hadn't really talked about, Simeon, we've complained a lot about this team, but we hadn't really given this team a complete grade. Maybe that may be something that we can look at and see, because the reality of it is preseason, we were the number 8 or 9 team. We ended up number 9. How some of the people who ended up in that final poll ended up in front of us, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how Texas A&M ended up in front of us. Texas A&M didn't play anybody with a record. And I think they were overhyped. But they ended up in front of us. Everybody else that was in the playoffs ended up in front of us, even if they didn't win a game or not. I thought that was interesting. But I do think the way Alabama ended the season probably hurt them a little bit. I'm backing a little bit off of the Big Ten just being for sure the dominant conference. It hasn't been a lot, but somebody, a pretty good source, even said that there's rumors out there that Indiana may have got into the catapult system and saw some, I don't know if that's just sour grapes or if there's a legitimacy to it. And the reason I point that out is people didn't complain a lot about Spygate and Inflategate, but undoubtedly the reporters, even though they didn't call him out, they must have believed it, talking about Bill Belichick not getting in on first-time Hall of Famer. So, right. So is this potentially going to be a tainted national title for Indiana somewhere down the road? How much pressure is he under? Could he have the greatest rise and the quickest fall, right? So, I mean, we could go anywhere today, free for all Friday, anything. I know we're going to talk basketball. Maniacs, if you have something, let us hear from you. Type it in. Anything. Well, within reason. And we'll work it out. So, but yeah, Alabama got a big game coming up as well. Anything you want to hear before we jump into a couple of those lingering topics from earlier this week?
No, we can go ahead and just start it off by talking about Coach Clem and Alabama's, I guess, I don't want to say great for the season, but Alabama looking forward into the 2026 season. I think with Coach Clem, I did some more research on him. His year at Oregon, they rushed for 2,800 yards. And that was the same year they only had 5 sacks. And so,
hallelujah.
If Alabama could even have just a fraction of that, I think this is a home run hire.
Do you remember who the quarterback was that year?
It was 2022, so was that Bo Nix? I think that was Bo Nix.
22-23, yeah, because he was in the pros 24 and 25. Yeah, because this was his second year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Absolutely.
And of course, I would say Bo probably saved 4 or 5 sacks that year, probably.
But I think Austin Mack or Keenan Russell could do could save a couple sacks. They're mobile enough to where.
I was going to say Ty may have saved a couple.
Ty did save a couple.
He may have called a few, but then again, you know what I'm saying?
Ty did save a couple with this.
You said they had 2,800 yards rushing and gave up 5 sacks. I'm going to have to go back and watch how they played. Because to me, my biggest concern with Alabama the last couple of years, Simeon, is we went sideways a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't fire off, and I talked to someone and they were saying that's a blocking style now, and I'm like, I don't know where. I get that style if you're doing RPOs,
but there are no RPOs.
But we were not RPOs, so I don't get a sideways, lateral step.
Unless you have guys that are quick. I mean, unless you have guys that are just speed.
Yeah, but if the defense is aggressive, then it's not going to matter. Because you see what I'm saying? Like, if the defense is, to me, when you play a team, like, I know we've talked about this, but if you hit Indiana before they could make their loops and their stunts, I think everybody tried to play Indiana's game versus running at them.
Right.
You know, like if I gave the T-bone analysis. If you graze somebody, and they're going to be able to continue on their path.
Right.
But if you T-bone them, you change their direction. And a lot of Indiana's defensive scheme, it's feast or famine to me. But the reason it was so much feast for them, it's like teams were playing that not so aggressive. And it may be harder to execute than I'm thinking, especially if you don't have athletic linemen.
It has to be, because Miami was the only team in the last, 2 months to gouge them.
And if Miami hadn't have got behind, Miami, when they committed to the run, they did. I don't know why Miami played defense the way they did in the first half. Who knows? But
I think it was because of that safety was out.
Yeah, and probably so. Once again, the targeting rule, the stupid rule, changes the next game, which makes zero sense. The stupidest rule in college, in any sport. I don't know of another rule as stupid as that, where somebody, especially when it's, nobody out there is. I haven't seen a targeting call in the last couple of years where I thought, well, this guy, he really just made up his mind on his way to that guy that he was going to hit him in the head. Now, I've seen some guys launch, but it was about them being aggressive. It wasn't that I'm going to hit this guy in the head, and the guy squats, takes a knee down. So it's kind of crazy. So, but back to this offensive line. Do you feel, Simeon, that this offensive line is on par talent wise with the one we had last year?
No, I don't think. I don't think it's on paper talent as high, because it depends on how high you have Caden Proctor on your talent board. I think Caden Proctor has a ton of talent to be able to dominate, but he didn't really use it.
Well, let me ask you a different way. Do you think right now, do we have someone that can, do you think we have, let's go by position, do you think we have anybody that can play and perform at the level of Caden Proctor last year?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Do you think we have someone in this mix that could play at the level of Dewberry and Vandermark?
Yeah.
Do you think we have someone that can play at the level or close to the level of Brelsford?
I think they can get close.
Okay. Do you think we have anybody that can play at the level of Wilkin?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Carroll should be better.
Yeah.
So
I think, yeah.
So at that point, you have to start thinking, okay, did we end up potentially with close to the same talent? And if our coach is better and technique is better, and everybody that was here already, Will Sanders got playing time last year. Michael Carroll got playing time last year. We brought in a couple guys with more experience than what we were thinking we were going to have. Can Clem get us over the hump? Let's hold that thought. We're going to go to break. With Clem, are you ready? Are you ready early, way too early, to say this offensive line will be better than last year? More productive, not more talented. Will they be more productive? And you describe what productive means. This is the Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon. We're live, local, ready to get things rolling right here on this Free For All Friday, powered by TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to answer the question, can Clem get more production out of this offensive line than what we've seen last year and maybe even the year before, right here on your home for Alabama Sports Talk, 100.9 and 1230 AM WTVC.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Not much going on this morning. We don't have any accidents to tell you about. Just the normal construction that we have. Skyland Boulevard.
Of the year. Only at Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Go to TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
With approved credit on select models, interest accrues from date of purchase. Offers expire month end.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They've moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full-service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com. Or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today. The chance of a few sprinkles. The high 48. Breezy and much colder tonight and tomorrow. The chance of a few scattered light snow flurries. The low tonight 17. The high tomorrow 28. Sunday, sunny with a high at 37. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 28 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Keep it locked into Tide 100.9 for more of the Martin Houston Show
with Martin Houston
and X's and O's Sports, Xavier Houston.
In to the Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, Simeon, X out on assignment. Sim, we were going to break there. I'm going to get your thoughts on, excuse me, and on the Clem, did we improve? Did we make the necessary movement? And is Clem enough of an X factor that we feel a little better? You want to hear what Coach DeBoer had to say about it?
Yeah.
Let's see what he said. Let me see if I got that in here.
He does look tired.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. He... If you tune in on the video, P Fields asked the question. If you're listening out there on the radio world, Simeon said he does look tired. Simeon was responding to P Fields said, "Did Coach DeBoer look tired, stressed at Mobile interviews? He might be feeling the weight." And that hold on to that word weight of coaching at Bama. I thought after hiring Clem. Rebuilt the O-line. Now, what have they done to address the special teams? I hadn't heard anything.
Coach, they've gotten that Adam Watford and that kicker and long snapper.
Okay, he's saying they hadn't changed
personnel-wise.
They've changed it personnel-wise. I don't know if it was personnel or coaching. That's what we need to figure out. Because this guy came from Oklahoma, where Oklahoma had previously – Had
really
good special team. Yeah. So maybe it was our personnel. But anyway, we're gonna hear Coach DeBoer. I thought, yeah, P Fields, we got it. I thought you were talking about the address the coaching staff. But yeah, we did get some personnel. The only concern I have is we still don't have, we don't gain any yards in our special teams.
You see how good the punter is from North Alabama?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying what I'm talking about on the return game.
Oh.
Our return game. And see, I mean, we're going to hold it. I want to have a special teams conversation. Let me make a note. Okay. Let me make a note real quick. Because there's something about special teams that used to be really special about Alabama football. And we've not had it since they changed the kickoff, when they started messing with the kickoff rule, where you could wave your hand and fair catch it in the field of play. It pretty much has been null and void ever since. So we're going to circle back on that. But Coach DeBoer was asked down at the bowl game about the O-line, and here's what he had to say.
It's about production, and we know we got to be better there. Mindset and just execution, the details of the fundamentals that the guys need. So, a lot of new faces that are going to be in that room. So, kind of a fresh start there.
Two things before we get back. So, he's looking kind of tired. I call it, he got that president look. You know what I mean by that? You know, presidents get elected. Yeah. Presidents get elected, and then all of a sudden they get old, gray, and age. Coach looking kind of...
He had more hair on his head when he came here.
Yeah, he did, but he has lost some weight.
I think he's lost even more.
Yeah.
Since people started talking about it till now, because
yeah, he and it may be stress, it may be health related. He did talk.
Probably both.
Yeah, most likely both. But he hit a couple things there.
Yeah.
He did say. Let me tell me what you heard him say. He didn't say a lot of words, but he said a couple of words that I'm looking at. That I'm looking for. I've already used one of them this morning.
I mean, mindset. Just having an aggressive mindset and then execution. I mean, having, especially as an offensive lineman, those are probably one of the two most important things when you're looking for in a good offensive lineman. What is their mindset? Yep. And how well can they, like Jacob Powell just said, fundamentals.
Yep.
And how can they execute? It doesn't matter what star you have or anything like that, but if you have a good mindset and you can execute, you're gonna dominate more than you're not.
Yeah, playing in the trenches is playing in the trenches really is an attitude type of game, type of mindset. And I don't know that if you look back, who on this Alabama offensive team had an attitude? The only one I can remember that I thought would help set our identity was Jaden Roberts. And he just, like, got injured. And once he got injured, he just...
Yeah,
I heard he didn't want to play. Okay, and it kind of looked like it. And that goes to mindset, Simeon. So, but he said mindset. He said fundamentals, and execute. And he said production. We got to get more production.
I guess Ha Ha was right. I guess he was. You know. Kind of communicating what the coaching staff was looking for, but at the same, I hear them at the same time. But then they should have gotten guys in the portal that had a little bit more production.
They did at the end, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'm talking about you should have gotten a new starting. Well, four offensive linemen that have started. If you're just saying production, because a lot of these guys are high potential. Haven't played because they're sophomores. Like, it's not like that they haven't played in 4 years. It's just that they're young, so they don't have the high production.
But he said that they got to get more production, and he thinks that he can get more production. I think that's what is. I think someone asked the question: this coach? Coach Clem, can he make the difference? Is he the, you know, like in chemistry, when you're talking about in a lab, you just don't know what that one extra drop is going to do, like that one extra molecule. And is he that molecule that is going to take the O-line over the top? And I believe based on that, that's what they're thinking. They're believing that. They're believing that Will Sanders was good enough to start last year. He was just young. There was one game, and just kind of hold it. There was one game that Will was scheduled to start, okay, last year. And I don't know if the moment was too big in pregame or what, but they got concerned based on the way he was carrying on in pregame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, but is that also coaching that you didn't have that
you didn't have your guy ready?
You didn't have him. You addressed maybe the fundamentals, and you didn't address the mental side. You know, because it's not just whether you're talented enough; it's can you handle the heat of the moment. And so, if they thought Will Sanders was good enough to start last year, then they feel confident that Will Sanders can be. A guy, because you have to think. Remember, who did Tyler Booker name at Combine by name? You may not know this. He said, y'all watch out for Will Sanders.
Oh, wow.
That was his guy last year. And so, Will Sanders, if you believe in Carroll, I don't think there's that much difference between Carroll and Sanders. I just don't believe it. And we played all year with Carroll, and we took the lumps and bumps with Carroll because Carroll sometimes would just blow
he
throw what I call them lookout blocks. You know what the lookout block is?
Yeah,
where you start backing up and you just turn around and yell at the quarterback, look out! Right? He had a few of those, but he got better. And so I think that can Clem be that guy that takes, because if he takes each one of those players wherever, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just read P. Fields comment. For those of you, you know you heard me laugh in the middle of a statement, but P. Fields typed, I'm optimistic that Clem will make it happen. If I if I don't believe, I will look like the boar by fall camp. But I do think Clem can get us. I think that they think he's that added ingredient, Simeon, that will take Alabama over the top.
Yeah.
Just trying to stay with whatever's being said in the media. I know we've been talking about the tight ends and all that, but Coach was asked several questions. He was asked a question about Ron Williams in the wide receiver room and Coach Nix, but he also had a question about the portal. Samuel, let's see what he had to say just about the portal, and then we'll circle back on what he had to say about Ron Williams as well. Here's Coach DeBoer when he was asked about the portal on yesterday.
How do you think the portal class came together?
Yeah, I feel we addressed some areas that we either needed going into the portal or, you know, numbers-wise, and I think there's some areas we really strongly upgraded, and so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what the not just the skill set of these guys are coming in, but also who they are as people and the character. We have some guys who, whether they were voted team captain last year or probably were going to be, I think we got those type of guys in at multiple positions. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting back on campus and seeing them operate. I've heard great things as far as how they fit in and how they've mixed in with our current roster. And, you know, that's what you're really trying to make sure of. And, yeah, we got to have the skill, but we also got to have the chemistry. And, you know, these guys, I think, for the most part, from what I've seen, and it's a quick turnaround. Like, you know, you get a weekend, some phone calls with them, their family members, or whoever's important to them. And you're having to make quick decisions just like they are. And so can't say we've batted 1,000 because I haven't spent enough time with them. But I really like the group that we have brought in. You know, offensive line, we needed some guys that could step in with 5 guys graduating. Not all of them obviously were starters. A couple guys that are leaving for the NFL with Parker and KP. And so, you know, we needed the numbers, but we also needed the quality to go put out there on the football field, offensive line. So that was a heavy focus.
What's the sense of urgency?
All right. Simeon, did he throw shade at some people?
It felt like it.
What's your takeaway from what Coach had to say there? Because a couple things jumped out at me as well.
I mean, it was more of him just saying, hey, some of the guys that we had maybe weren't the right culture fit, because he definitely put an emphasis on getting the right character-wise people in the locker room. And that's honest, like he said, that's honestly just as important as the skill, because it doesn't matter if you're all world, but if you're a cancer to the locker room, you're not just a deficit to your play, you're a deficit to the team's play, especially if you're in a position where you have to start. So like when you see that, I don't know, I just think that's a good sign for Alabama that not only did they get good character into the locker room, but they also got good quality as well.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. He said character at least as many times, if not more, than he said skill. Okay, he said a couple. And I don't think he was just talking about the O-line room, but I do think because he said, "Hey, we got some skills. We had to get some numbers. We had to get character. We had to get, you know, right fit, you know." And I'm hearing good things about character and how they fit, how they're gelling together with the roster. And so we've said it numerous times here on this show, even though they felt good about the culture, there may have still been a couple of outliers that were on the team. I have a leadership talk, Simeon, that it's called, instead of culture, it's called courture. And it's taking your core beliefs and your culture and how the two blend together to create performance, because there were some guys that may not fully buy into the core beliefs of DeBoer, and that's they both want a winning culture, but whatever your core beliefs are, if you don't have those core beliefs, you know, manifested in the players, then the culture, even though it may be healthy, it may not be as healthy as it could be. You know, it could be like the person that's you know, got the weight right, and they have all of these things. They're the right on the scale. They look good and all that stuff. But when they go to the doctor, oh, cholesterol is a little high, right? And maybe that's what was missing from this team. Just a few tweaks, or maybe a lot, because they. I just wonder how many of the guys who left they asked to leave versus just jumping in. And even though Keon Keeley may, because the Keon Keeley is an interesting one when you hear a statement like what he's talking about.
There's more to that story.
Because there, it just doesn't seem, right, you know, they had moved his position, and maybe he wasn't very attractive in the portal, Simeon, is the only reason he was back this past year anyway, right? Yeah. And then once he got on the field, you know how sometimes people are. When they're asking for something, they're a lot more humble. When they get it,
they switch up.
They switch up on you. And so did Keeley down the stretch get enough playing time that maybe that true feeling came out and he wasn't as good a culture fit? Because to me, if you go after keeping Mbakwe like they did last year, Keeley was the guy that you would have gone after.
Right. But they didn't use Mbakwe. I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they went after Mbakwe, and then they didn't go after – it didn't appear that they went after Keeley. And then on top of that, there was no repercussions when HaHa said what he said. HaHa went directly at Keeley.
Yeah, he did. So I think that was a sign.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Keon Keeley, do you potentially see them maybe beefing Latham back up and moving him to that position? Because we hadn't talked about the fact that he did get approved for that seventh year.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he was – where did he play this past year?
He was going to be at the linebacker spot versus the DN. But the year before, he was at the DN.
He'll probably slide back out to the DN part because I think depth might be a little light there, I think.
Yeah, I think we have more – I always get them mixed up. I think we have more wolves and less bandits or whichever way it is. I think the linebacker is a wolf and the
defensive
is a bandit.
Yeah, because LT was a bandit.
Yeah, and so I could see him jumping back out there to that bandit position – beefing back up a little bit because I think we have more depth and experience. I don't think they're going to take a chance of him competing with Yonze Pierre and
Justin
Eel. Yeah, because that's
those your two spots. Those two spots are taken. I mean,
that's going to be 1-2. So he's looking at third, even if he comes back. But I. You lost your top two guys. No, your top three guys. Renaud, Keeley, and LT.
And then you brought in the guy from South Carolina. And
hey, look at the NCAA doing Alabama a favor.
Getting the culture.
Gave us a seventh-year player. Right?
Right.
So at least there's something good there. Hey, real quick, let's hit the Ryan Williams thing that Coach talked about. It was two responses there. And then we'll end up in the show talking about this basketball game. Alabama has a big basketball game coming up this weekend. So, but here's Coach the first time he was asked about Ryan Williams and Coach Nix and what Coach Nix brings to the table in regards to Ron Williams?
I just think that so far what I've seen is what I was hoping for. And it's just a guy who's been around the league, a guy who has the experience, and I love the way that he just was really down to earth and relates to our guys. I think they appreciate that already from him. Very diverse from a coaching standpoint. He's coached different skill positions, different groups, but love how he's been at, for the most part, places for longer periods of time. Just some stability there is something that I think I appreciate, and we didn't have really a choice here at the last stop, but looking forward to working through the offense with him. I'm a receiver guy, and looking forward to some time with him and developing the guys that we have. I think we've got a great group that he's excited about, coaching up.
During the season, you mentioned that Ryan's struggles, at least on some level, were about him putting pressure on himself. Do you think part of Eric Nix's role is going to be to kind of put Ryan back together mentally a little bit?
Yeah, I think all of us, that's our job as coaches, is to, in the development process. I mean, there's a piece where it's skill development. It's just the piece with the psychological part, all that for every player. And so I would expect that from our coaches. And certainly as pertains to Ryan, I think he's going to have a big year ahead. I'm excited to again get to work with him here in the offseason, correct the things that we feel are correctable, and him continue to grow and go have a big year.
How do you think the portal class can
be? All right.
I think Derek Nix was the perfect replacement for a Jamarcus Shepherd, just from that level of, because Jamarcus Shepherd was a great wide receiver coach. So I think he was able to replace him with someone just of that same ability, if not a little bit of a more well-rounded coach. But I think for Ryan, I think it's what they've been preaching to him this entire time, is getting back to the basics. Because anybody that sees Ryan play, once he gets the ball in his hands, he is a game changer. And I think that just whether if it was a mental thing, if it was like a case of the yips or whatever, just hopefully he's able to rebound and have a good junior year.
Yeah, Jacob Powell earlier in the program said it's going to depend. We're talking about Clem, but I think you addressed this to everything on our offensive side of the ball. I think this question applies, or this thought. It's going to depend on if Grubb was the issue last year with the line.
Yeah.
He stays involved and they don't let Clem have the reins. It all depends on Grubb, if he was the issue. Is that possible? Because the reality of it is, let's hope it was Cap.
Let's hope.
Because if it wasn't Cap,
it'll become real evident really quick, I feel like.
P. Field says it best. I agree, Jacob Grubb needs a talking to from DeBoer. So if that's not the case, then Alabama could be, this could be a quick flip and turnaround. Kind of a middle of the road, worst to first type of offensive performance. And if we can get the defensive performance we got last year to this year, to this year, and the offense takes a step up.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I think this team will have the opportunity to take a big leap into the 2026 season. I just think with maybe the Ryan Grubb / the Ryan Williams situation, I think their relationship needs to improve.
We need a little R&R.
Yeah.
We need a little Ryan Grubbs and Ryan Williams to get on the same page for 2026. If there's any egos on either part, they need to check them at the door.
Yeah, for sure.
And
too talented.
He's too talented. Even if that means that you give him the plays where you hand the ball off and you run reverses and he gets all the bubble screen, I don't care. Ron Williams is like Coach Stallings used to say. Everybody knew we were going to run the ball. This is what Coach Stallings used to say, Sammy. You got the money, man. They still got to stop it.
Right.
They still got to stop it. Yeah. Coach's philosophy was, we're going into the Miami game. Everybody was talking about, well, if Alabama can't run the ball, they ain't going to win. Coach Stallings, and I said it to the reporter, have you seen us play anybody? We wouldn't beat anybody if we couldn't run the ball. So right. There you go. Ron Williams, you still have to stop him even when you know he's getting the ball. And I think mentally there's a lot to that. It's interesting. I did not realize how good Shepherd was. I'm going to tell you, that was a shocking hire of the offseason for me. I knew the guy was an unbelievable motivator and encourager, but I had no idea he was that respected in the coaching field.
That's a really big deal.
Yeah, because he went from a wide receiver coach, sort of like Dabo. Had never been a head coach either. But Dabo was that player coach who maximized his players, and coaches and ADs had watched him. Right. And so it'll be interesting to see. I wish him nothing but the best out that way. But Nick comes in, man, with, I think, even more to add to the offense than maybe Shepherd was allowed or given. Because we saw what happened at Auburn when they went from, what's his name, anyway. Yeah, let's get to Allen real quick. We saw what happened when he replaced Hugh Freeze. All right, Allen, you're in with Simeon and Xavier. What's on your mind? Is Allen still there? All right. Simeon, let's talk about the basketball game real quick, man.
Yeah. Now, Alabama's taking on the Florida Gators on, is it Sunday? Yes. And so I find this game to be really interesting because this is from Coach Todd Golding from the Florida Gators. He came and had a lot of strong words for Nate Oates and them allowing Charles Bediako to play for Alabama. And I just think that is going to be just an interesting subplot to the game because Bediako has come in and scored double digits in both games. And so he's been able to make a definite impact. And Todd Golden even said, it doesn't matter if they play, we'll come in and beat them anyway. So we'll see. I can't wait to see how that game plays. Hopefully Alabama can get Amari Allen back.
Yeah, I think Amari Allen to me is what Landon Dickerson, Tyler Booker, what was his name? Womack was to Alabama's offensive line. He's that guy that gets everybody else meaner, like nastier. Now I'm gonna say if there's been a good out of the Allen thing is Houston Millett has his shots been off. And so he's just decided he's going to help this team win by being tenacious and hustling. So the good part is that he stepped into that role a little bit. But I think Allen is clearly the blue-collar guy effect. And this team misses that. They don't have enough blue-collar right now to go with the three in the inside game. I think all of that, when all of these guys get back together, Simeon, I think they're going to have blue-collar three-point and inside game with Bediako if that is the rest of the year. And by the end of the tournament, maybe they'll have that chemistry.
I hope so. I mean, Amari Allen has brought in so much just value to this team as a freshman. And I feel like he has had he might not be the same scorer that Brandon Miller was, but I think from just overall being NBA ready at 18 or 19, I think he is cut from that same cloth of just being, you can tell he's a step above the majority of the guys he's playing with.
I think he brings as many points to the table between what he does defensively and what he does offensively. I think together he's an 18 to 20 point a night difference. What he adds with his offense and with his defense, and I think he makes everybody else play with a different attitude. Simeon,
I agree.
And I think we're going to see an even better Alabama team. I think the first Bediako game they struggled a little bit. I think the second one they got a little better sea legs, and then last but not least, I think without a doubt they got together. Hey, what we're going to do here is because we had to combine some breaks because of what was happening on the airwaves, we're just going to sign off on the airwaves. Simi and I are going to take it to the top of the hour here on the live stream. So thanks to all of you who joined us in on Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. This has been the Martin Houston Show with Martin, Xavier, and Simeon. Trust in the Lord always. Lean not in your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We love to see you on Sunday at Harvest Church. At Harvest Church, we love God, love people. We love to see your face in the place. Come check us out there in Coker. Harvest Church, 10 a.m. Love to see you. Roll Tide, everybody. We'll be back on the live stream in just a moment.
We gonna celebrate.
Thank you for listening to the